Okay. We are in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 406, if you actually have the book. And we're going to scroll down to the very first, you know, break in it, even though this should be in bold, but it's not. You know, the first sentence says what it says, but then it says a little subheading. It says, Influence of Older Workers. All right. Thanks, Ace. And you just click that link that Brother Ace just put in the room if you want to read along. And it says, I greatly desire that the old soldiers of the cross, those grown gray in the Master's service, shall continue to bear their testimony right to the point, in order that those younger in the faith may understand that the messages which the Lord gave us in the past are very important at this stage of this of the earth's history. Our past experience has not lost one jot of its force. And amen to that. And I'm one of those gray-haired guys. And you know, I've been walking with the Lord and doing this work 30 years. Well, actually, 29. But I kind of count when the Lord was leading me out of Catholicism. I was still in there and I was studying the Bible. But I don't know if I want to count that. He was leading me out and I finally left. It's an amazing thing to look back, like what she's talking about here. The past experiences have not lost one jot of its force, and it's. I mean, I feel like I have the same desire to please Him and do the work today as I did back then, and that's what I can't understand. A lot of these guys, like you know, some of these preachers out there, to say, "Oh, I'm 65, I'm going to retire," and I'm thinking, "You're a preacher, though." You're not supposed to retire. Aren't you supposed to continue on until you don't breathe anymore? Or the eastern sky splits? And I just don't get that. But that's how some of these guys are out there. But she goes on. She says, let all be careful not to discourage the pioneers or cause them to feel that there is little they can do. Their influence may still be mightily exerted in the work of the Lord. And I got to tell you here, like, and I'm not a pioneer or nothing like that, but I'm, you know, like one of the older folks here. I'm not the oldest, of course, that's among our number. But then I think the only reason I got the gray hair is because of stress. And I'm working on that, praise the Lord, and He's helping me too, and it's getting much, much better. I don't get all beaten up anymore physically. I let it roll off my back. It's just like with these attacks that have been going on. And, you know, and I thank you, some of you that email me, let me know about them, but you guys ignore them, I ignore them. It's just amazing to see how they just don't want to give up, but, you know, let them do it. You know, it's probably the only work they're going to be able to do now anyway. I mean, it's sad when you think about it. You know, instead of doing the work of the Lord, they're out there doing the work of Satan. But it's sadder still if they don't know it. But praise the Lord that it's like what Nehemiah witnessed, you know. We just got to do the work. And amen to that. Proverbs 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Amen. And see, this is one of the neat things, too, about being older in the faith. Even though I don't know it all, and I never claim to, you're getting yourself in a heap of trouble anyway if you do. I've known many times, like there's many things that I, like if somebody asked me a question in this particular area in the scriptures or that area of the scriptures, they're quite often, and I praise God for this too, when somebody emails me this kind of stuff and they ask me to, well, what does that verse mean? Or what is that doctrine? Can you explain this doctrine to me? Well, actually, the doctrines are mostly pretty well understood. But the thing is, like say a prophetic event or something that I haven't studied up in a while, or even say like going into Zechariah or Ezekiel, there's areas in there that John 14:29 is pretty clear about. You know, there's certain things that we're not going to understand until after the event occurs. And so I don't like jumping a gun and telling people, well, Ezekiel said this, and it means this for a fact. Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah, because it's, you know, I don't know how many times that I've seen preachers do that, and all of a sudden they got egg on their shirt big time. And but they, you know, they're trying. But the nice thing is, that I love, and what I like to share with my church family, especially with the young workers. because they're fresh in the Word and they're fresh on the work and they're, oh man, they, you know, it's like I was telling Fran the other day, I wish I had the energy I did when I was a young man, when I was a preacher. I just, you know, I just couldn't get enough of the work, and I'm doing this and the studies, you know, 10, 12 hours a day in the Bible when I was unemployed, you know, for that, that test that I went through for those 16 months. But now I have these experiences over the last 30 years with, His hand and how He guides and how, and this is what I love the spiritual 2020 thing, the hindsight thing, when you can look back and it says, wow, you know, okay, that trial I went through, I never realized why, but now I look back and I go, wow, He knew I needed to go through that, because what I'm doing right now, I needed that experience to be able to handle this, or even the computers for that matter. I could not figure out for the life of me, and if I wasn't even a Christian yet, I was a Roman Catholic. And I couldn't understand why I had such a desire to get my hands on computers. Could not figure it out. I says, what's with these computers? I saw them in magazines. It was like, you know, some guy's looking at naughty pictures. I'm looking at computers, you know. And it's like I couldn't get it. You know, like you get a hobby thing, you know. But I've seen this through my whole life. All these things happening. Like even when we moved away from the city, we didn't know we were supposed to move. The Lord just had all these things happen in certain situations, went down. We were unable to rent here or rent there or rent anywhere up in the city area. And then we tried the first time outside the city. He sent somebody that you'd never think He would send to say, hey, try outside the city a couple, 3 hours. And we did, and boom, got the first one. And the guy even took it with a lousy $50 deposit. And even though there was another guy standing next to me that was handing him the whole rent, he gave it to me instead. And I thought, wow, that's the Lord's hand. And then 6 months after that, we found about the Sabbath. When we got away from our brethren, just like Abram, when he got away from his brethren, he started getting even more and more understanding. So, and this is why, this is, a lot of people think about the older folks, oh, they can't really do much, but this is what I used to love when I was a little kid. I liked to talk to the older folks because I wanted to know, what was life like before I was born? Has it always been like this? I says, oh no, we didn't have this, we didn't have that, you know, oh, whoop-de-doo. What about life? But, as I get older, I think it'd be nice, like with the young workers, to relay and to share my experiences, just like some of you that have been Christians for decades can do as well, or even for years. A babe in Christ comes up to you and you've only been a Christian for a few years. You've got experiences that could really bless that person. And this is what she's getting at here. Their influence may still be mightily exerted in the work of the Lord. You know, because like some of the things that we've gone through and the babes in Christ come out and they want to do this work and they want to try it this way and they go, oh, hold on a second. I tried that 20 years ago, and boy, did I fall flat on my face. And me and Fran have done a few things that we tried in our past and that we thought was the Lord's will, and it just wasn't. But He allowed us to try it anyway because He knew we were doing it for the right reasons. And so, but still, His hand, just watching His hand and getting that closer relationship with Him, that's spiritual gold. That's salvation gold. That's the streets of heaven. That's that walk that is eternal. I mean, that is, you know, and we all got to get to that type of walk that Enoch had or Elijah had. Otherwise, you're not going to be part of Gideon band because they were translated, still alive. They never had to die beforehand like Moses did because he sinned. And the majority of the people on this planet, you know, the overwhelming, unequivocal majority of the people on this planet will die before Jesus gets here. But 144,000 won't. And then she says, the testimony of the aged ministers will ever be a help and a blessing to the church. God will watch over His tried and faithful standard bearers night and day until the time comes for them to lay off their armor. Let them be assured that they are under the protecting care of Him who never slumbers or sleeps, that they are watched over by unwearied sentinels, knowing this and realizing that they are abiding in Christ. They may rest trustfully in the providences of God. And this next section is titled, Even to the End. And she says, I pray earnestly that the work we do at this time shall improve. And you've ever noticed this too, by the way? Let me stop here for a second. A lot of people say, well, she was a false prophet because she's always talking about Jesus coming back any minute. And she died. And I look at her writings, and yeah, she said, you know, she thought He was coming back, you know, in her lifetime, and so do we. And I mean, I thought Jesus was going to come back 20 years ago, to be honest with you, when I really started getting into the prophecies and stuff like that. And right before I understood what the mark of the beast was, I saw things happening that just, you know, shocked my socks off. And then when I became a Sabbath keeper and then I really understood what the mark was, oh, well, then it was a no-brainer. He's coming soon, 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 very soon, you know. I never gave any dates, of course, because I'm not stupid, and neither did she. But you have this desire to say that I believe it's going to be in my lifetime, which I still say to this day. And I'm pushing 60. And so it just looks like, I mean, with the, and she even says in one of her books, I believe it's in The Great Controversy, that when we get very near the end, it's going to roll downhill really fast, really, really fast. And what we see Obama doing just the other day, I put an article on the site about this, about the behind the closed scenes kind of a new world order that he's pushing or helping the Vatican to do, because the Vatican is the one that, you know, started out with the new world order. I mean, Hitler, their man, a Pope said it first, and then Hitler said it, then all the Popes said it, and then George Bush Sr. said it, and now they're all saying it, New World Order. And but they already started that transcontinental thing between, you know, Canada, USA, and Mexico. Well, that's been going on for 5 years now. But just this week, we found out that Obama did it behind closed doors without congressional approval with Europe. So now they've got everything all locked in for that, the Club of Rome, it's called, for those 10 nations. You know, the 10 toes in that vision of Daniel. Well, actually, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel defined it for him, though. The 10 toes being the 10 separated, you know, sections of planet Earth at the time Jesus comes back. And then when that happens, when they put that together, it's not going to last. It's not going to last long at all, because these guys just don't get along, especially for the fact that most of them don't like the Pope and what he does. They don't. They're just going along with it because of the dollar signs. Eventually, they're just going to give up. Anyway, going on. Yeah, amen. They definitely will increase, brother. Anyway, it says, even to the end, and it says, I pray earnestly that the work we do at this time shall impress itself deeply on heart and mind and soul. Perplexities will increase, but let us, as believers in God, encourage one another. Let us not lower the standard, but keep it lifted high, looking to Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. When in the night season I am unable to sleep, I lift my heart to prayer, in prayer to God, and He strengthens me and gives me the assurance that He is with His ministering servants in the home field and in distant lands. And how many of us do that as well? It's not so much that often you can't sleep, but how many of us wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning like King David did? You know, King David called it midnight or the middle of the night. And this is, of course, what we're going to call, you know, a lot of people today would call that 12 o'clock a.m., and it's not the case. In King David's day, they did not have Roman time. Romans came up with the term midnight. But the middle of the night is like 4 a.m. Well, 3 to 4 a.m. And it really is a blessing to go into prayer at that time. It's everything's so quiet, and you're just laying there, and you're looking up at the ceiling or whatever, and you're just, you know, sharing with Him what went on during the day. And what you hope to have go on during tomorrow. And, of course, you drift off back to sleep. Happens every time. And she goes on to say, I am encouraged and blessed as I realize that that the God of Israel is still guiding His people and that He will continue to be with them even to the end. And then she goes on to say here that I am instructed to say to our ministering brethren, let the messages that come from your lips be charged with the power of the Spirit of God. If ever there was a time when we needed the special guidance of the Holy Spirit, it is now. We need a thorough consecration. It is fully time that we gave to the world a demonstration of the power of God in our own lives and in our ministry. And this is what I pray for daily. You know, like, well, actually 3 times a day is the signs to follow God's people. And this is why we strive on to that perfection, to be part of the Gideon band, because when that latter rain falls upon us, those signs are going to follow God's people, you know. And it's not all about the miracles either. It's about glorifying God so that even more souls will come into the faith. And this is what I pray for on a regular basis. We, you know, I mean, the days of track passing might not end, but it'll be a lot more effective, you know. It's just like, it's like an inkling of this, and some of you have shared with me that this has happened with you as well, and Fran and I have witnessed this, you know, point blank, you know, right in our, you know, with our own eyes. where the power of God upon us is very apparent to demon-possessed people. And we've seen how they, you know, like you walk into a grocery store and you don't know the guy's possessed until you, you know, you walk down an aisle and he turns and looks at you and he just takes off like he's on fire. And or like that woman that started screaming at the top of her lungs when she got with within a couple of feet of me. It's to see the power of God like that, you know, spurts. I want to see it all the time. I want to be able to, you know, I want to have that. You know, like the one time that Paul was looking in the crowd and he stated clearly that he knew that the man he was looking at had the faith to be healed. And so he told him, get up. The guy was born crippled. He was an older guy now. And he was born crippled. And he told him, get up and walk. And he did. And that's where we got to strive, brothers and sisters. We got to get onto that faith. And the only way there's no special prayer. There's no special mindset. There's no secret code that you got to know, or like those ridiculous Bible codes that they came up with years ago. It's just increasing your faith, studying the Bible every day, praying at least 3 times a day, getting serious about your walk, not doing the things you know you shouldn't do. And it's just like with Daniel, when he made a decision one day, all of a sudden Gabriel come to them and tells him that he had been there sooner had the Prince of Persia not been messing with him. And thanks to Michael, of course, our Lord and Savior, in when he was standing as an angel to glorify himself in that way, took care of the situation. But the thing is, Daniel made the decision, and we got to make that decision as well. So she goes on, the Lord desires to see the work of proclaiming the third angel's message carried forward with increasing efficiency. As he has worked in all ages to give victories to his people, so in this age he longs to carry to a triumphant fulfillment his purposes for his church. He bids his believing saints to advance unitedly, going from strength to greater strength, from faith to increased assurance and confidence in the truth and righteousness of his cause. And this is one of the reasons you see, like those young kids that are attacking us, or the people on the West Coast that attack us. The devil knows to divide and conquer. He knows to try to split up the church. He knows to try to get it to the point where some of us are going to kind of listen to what they have to say, even though we've got rock-hard evidence that they're in sin and they actually use the tools of hell in their evangelistic tactics. And so we should never entertain the thought of even being anywhere near them. But until all of us get to that mindset, like we're all in one accord, and it's not just them, it's our own walks too. There's things we do on a regular basis as individuals that tells us we're not in one accord with everybody else in the church. And so that day is going to come, though, just like it did for the apostles on Pentecost when they finally got to that one accord, and then the early rain fell on them. And that's what we're striving on to, and so continue to pray in that regard. But anyway, she goes on. She says, we are to stand firm as a rock to the principles of the Word of God, remembering that God is with us to give us strength to meet each new experience. And that's what I like about the trials. You don't get the whoppers. Well, you do get them every now and then, but you don't get the backbreakers until you get a couple of small ones first, like a couple of toe stubbers. Because I like the way the Lord works it up. He gets you to a point, because some of these trials are difficult that we're going through now, yeah, but you get through them. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is clear. You're going to get through them. He ain't going to send them to you if you can't handle it. So if you're in it, that means you can handle it. So quit thinking you can't. Because a lot of us do this. Oh, man, I can't handle it. Well, if you couldn't handle it, do you think he'd let you have it? But, the thing I like about it is, as tough as these get, I praise his name because it's toughening me up for the next one. And it's just like with a bodybuilder. If you want to be able to lift that 100 pounds, you're going to have to start with a 20. So she says, let us ever maintain in our lives the principles of righteousness, that we may go forward from strength to strength in the name of the Lord. We are to hold as very sacred the faith that has been substantiated by the instruction and approval of the Spirit of God from our earliest experience until the present time. We are to cherish as very precious the work that the Lord has been carrying forward through his commandment-keeping people, in which, through the power of his grace, will grow stronger and more efficient as time advances. And it does. And this is why the attacks are continuing and getting even more intense and getting more graphic, if you will. They're getting out there more boldly. And I mean, like, just as a matter of fact, just a couple, three or four or five days ago, Sessler and that group on the West Coast put out another newsletter illegally using the name Seven Day Remnant again and slamming us, well, actually me, they're going after me again, in the newsletter. And they just don't stop, but we ignore them because our work's done there. The Lord's going to take care of it, and he's already taken care of it. There's already signs of his hand moving, and sadly they don't see it. It's just like with these young guys. They're not going to see it. And the reason I mention this is because many of you that have been around, for, you know, that have known me for years, you remember, you know, all the names that I put a list of names one time and just ran down them. And these are all the people. And I happen to know all their names because they were especially, and Bonnie would remember a lot of these, and my wife knows them all. But it just never seems to end. As soon as you get one of them out of your life, the devil sends another one. It's not going to stop. And those of us that are starting to do the work and getting a little bit more intense with the work, you better expect this to happen to you too. It's the more work you do, the more souls you bring to Christ, the more that dragon's going to get, he's going to start showing his teeth. So just continue on in that way. Hold on a second here. Okay. Odnum is not going to be in this room. That's a guy that attacked the ministry about 10 years ago. That's Mondo. He spells his name backwards. He comes in here as Mondo. Some of you remember him, but he was just in here. And that guy's dangerous. He's not friendly. Let's just put it that way. All right, continuing. The enemy is seeking to becloud the discernment. Isn't that weird how all of a sudden, out of the blue, that guy comes in? Yeah, he was just here, Ace. Yeah. Look at what it says. Odnum has been disconnected by Nicholas. I left that, you know, there's a feature in this chat room where I can turn it off to let people know, to not let people know someone's been kicked. But I think it's right that we should do it that way in case a moderator kicks somebody by mistake. But yeah, he was just in here. He was the first one to send out a mass. Just to give you an idea, he was the first, because the other ones were all those Telnet-type bulletin board guys. He was the first one to send out a mass email to all the church members claiming that I was promoting some evil website. And then he signed it my name. Problem. Two problems. Number one, he used a Yahoo account. It was pogm@yahoo.com, and I have my own servers. Why would I use Yahoo? And number two, he misspelled my name. So I'm pretty sure I know how to spell my own name, right? Oh, yeah, and Dennis the Menace. Yeah, you remember? Ace remembers him, too. We used to call him Dennis the Menace. This is the guy that sends threats to my home, pictures of my home, and threats to my own son, one of my sons. So, you know. But, and it looks like he just came in, too. So, hold on. This is weird. Like, they all got together and found out that I had my guest feature on, right? Yeah, Beelzebub is just busy tonight. Because it's obvious, because we are refusing to acknowledge what, you know, those young kids are doing and putting those videos on YouTube. We're busy. We're gonna acknowledge Christ. So anyway, the enemy is seeking to becloud the discernment of God's people, and this is how they do it too. By the way, they'll send out these supposedly in-depth Bible studies, which is strange because they all admitted they never read the whole Bible yet. But they send out these Bible studies, and they're supposed to be in-depth. But if you have read your Bible, you'll know that it's a mess. It's contradicting all over the place. But if it's a babe in Christ that hasn't read the entire Bible yet, it's going to becloud the discernment. It's going to mix them up a little bit. And this is one of the reasons I told that one crowd to take my videos off their site, because you're mixing up the people. Like Galel Doss with worldslastchance.com. He made that website, started that website with characteristics of Antichrist, my very first one. You know, my very first you know, what was it? My Characters of Antichrist page, he did it that's what started his website, and then all of a sudden the people started coming, and then he started preaching to them that Jesus Christ isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, you got to go to church on Wednesdays, or whatever. But and I know this isn't Randy, because Randy would, okay, hold on a second. Yeah, they're coming in using all the old names, and so it's either, you know, it could be anybody, but now they're banned. So I'm not playing their games. There you go. Okay. All right. Okay, continuing again. But I only did a partial ban. I know I'm gonna get an email. So this is usually how they do it. They like to attack, and then I'll lock down information I need to lock down, and then that'll be it. All right, so we are, backing up. It says, the enemy is seeking. Yeah, I know. That's why I banned them, so that they can't get this, so I can easily ignore them. All right, so the enemy is seeking to becloud the discernment of God's people and to weaken their efficiency, but if they will labor as the Spirit of God shall direct, well, he will open doors of opportunity before them for the work of building up the old waste places. And isn't that Isaiah 58? We're there to, you know, repair the repairs of the breach. She says their experience will be one of constant growth. And that right there is a striving Christian. Every day you get closer to Christ. Even if it's baby steps, it doesn't matter. Even if you're just inching forward without even taking a step, you are improving. So, you know, don't get down on yourself, you know, because you can. I mean, we all do it. We're all our worst critic. I know I'm my worst critic. And so she says, their experience will be one of constant growth until the Lord shall descend from heaven with power and great glory to set his seal of final triumph upon his faithful ones. And it says the promise of final triumph is the next section. And it says the work that lies before us is one that will put to the stretch every power of the human being. It will call, it will call for the exercise of strong faith and constant vigilance. At times, the difficulties that we shall meet will be most disheartening. The very greatness of the task will appall us. And yet, with God's help, his servants will finally triumph. Wherefore, my brethren, I desire that ye shall not, that ye not faint, or you faint not. It's Ephesians 3:13, of course. And then it says, because of the trying experiences that are before you. Oh, wait, let me read this. Wherefore, my brethren, I desire that you faint not because of the trying experiences that are before you. Jesus will be with you. He will go before you by his Holy Spirit, preparing the way, and he will be your helper in every emergency. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. Oh, and by the way, that's another thing, too. It just reminded me, because I was talking to Dennis, I think, and then Ace or somebody else, too. Oh, no, I don't think it was. I can't remember who we were talking about. Maybe it was Mark. But the video, the most recent video that was put out that was slamming me, prayer was offered in the beginning without kneeling. So, again, by their fruits ye shall know them. So, for this cause, she's quoting, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Yeah, in front of the camera, amen. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. I love the way the word puts that, you know, the breadth and length and depth. I mean, every aspect of your being, you have to acknowledge Christ in some way. You have to see what he would do here. And I'm not saying walk around with one of those WWJD things, you know. What would Jesus do, you know? You just walk in your heart, try to figure out, where is he leading me in every breadth and length and depth and height that I experience, you know. And then she says, well, then quoting Ephesians again, it says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that's, of course, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. But I love the way the way the word states this here, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly. How many of us have prayed, and like Scott was just talking about this last week, I think, about, you know, you pray for one thing, and then the Lord answers it, and you get something that's far greater than you could have ever imagined, right? And I don't know how many times that I've experienced this, Fran's experienced this, some of you have experienced this. You pray for one thing, and the Lord comes out of left field with the prayer answered, but in an overwhelming fashion. And it's just like, wow. So praise his name again. So let me just see. We'll go next page here, and I think that's going to end it. Yep, blank page. So let me go another one. Introduction. What's this? Selected Messages, Book 2. It says Introduction. This is Appendix 1 for Diseases and Its Causes. I don't want to read the trustees or the compilers, so let me go forward again here. Chapter 1. Selected Messages, Volume 2, Page 4. Why does it say Chapter 1 then? Or we're starting the book over. We're not going to do this, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is starting the book over. Because this is Selected Messages, Book 2. We just did. So we got to go to Book 3. I think Bonnie had the link. Let me try to go to 2. I'm going to try to, because this URL is actually code. It's actually, well, it's HTML, of course, but let me just try changing a couple of things in and see if I can't get to page 1. Crash. Nope, got it. Selected Messages, Book 3. Page 1. Okay, wait, it's blank. Let me go to the next one. Book 3, page 2, blank. Book 3, and then it says, okay, now it's got the title, Selected Messages, in bold. Let me go past that. Another blank page. Oh, I got to go all the way to page 15? So you were cheating. Scott kind of went ahead of me then. Oh, yeah, okay, let's see, 15, yeah, or is it 14? No, it looks like 15, yeah, looks like you're right. All right, let me just keep on. Yeah, it's page 15. Oh, boy. Page 8. Do my curly imitation here in a minute. No, I'm not going to do it. Because when I was a little kid, my mom didn't want us to watch The Three Stooges, because every time we watched The Three Stooges, me and my brothers, we'd just all beat each other up. But we were fighting. We were just goofing around and, you know, like The Three Stooges. So, all right. Well, I don't know if I want to start. It's like a quarter to. Should we end it here and have discussion? Or it's all up to you. As we start another book, there's no way we're going to get through this in 15 minutes. Let me just see how many pages. Let's just check. End it here in Gab? Okay. All right. I can do that. Anybody want to grab the mic? You can do it, too. There's some of you. Some of you in here are pretty gabby. Anyway, for those of you listening on the recording, I hope and pray you're blessed. That's the end of Book 2.